He takes my birth in, when are you born, where are you from, where's your passport? I'm born January 1951. And then my wife sits down and he says, when are you born? I'm born February 1947. And he goes, no, it is not possible that the wife is older than the man. Anyway, with Krishna's grace, one day I was walking to the Jamuna, and we didn't know, so we're walking to the Jamuna around noontime in June, and I'm just on the way back. I'm thinking I'm really not going to make it, you know. And Krishna sent a little breath of fresh, cool air in my face, just for a second. And I knew, okay, now I can make it home to sit down in front of the fan. You know, in those days, it was like, we didn't really know that much about Krishna. Everything was given by Prabhupada and by Krishna himself. He was very merciful in those days. Now he realizes, you know, I'm such a rascal. But in those days, wasn't there so much mercy that you felt so many times of visualization, enlightenment, such a powerful experience of Krishna consciousness that even though I haven't even assimilated the idea that bhakti, that I'm meant to surrender, I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer of all of activities. Still, this year is my 60th trip to Vrindavan. I still keep coming because of the mercy Prabhupada's given us. We have a little understanding that the jewel, the prize, the goal is there if you stay with this process, even if you're a fallen soul. So Prabhupada comes in August, just like a week before his, or 2 weeks before his Janmashtami, or maybe 1 month before the temple was supposed to open. And you've heard the story of how the temple was not ready. You know the story. Anyway, Guru Das and his wife were sending letters to Prabhupada. Yes, the temple is ready. Yes, we will have the opening on Janmashtami. So when we got there in the beginning of May, we look at each other and we say, what is this? There were, you know, those bamboo poles that they were climbing on, and they were putting bricks on the walls, and nothing was painted, nothing was finished. It was obviously not going to open. So Srila Prabhupada comes, and it's written in various books that he was very angry. Well, there was a group of us, about 10 of us, that walked around the temple. Prabhupada's tapping his cane. And Guru Das is trying to be encouraging. See, Srila Prabhupada, here is the pujari room. Here are the deities. They are not painted yet, but they are here. They are covered just now. They'll be finished in 2 weeks. And we walked around and nobody said anything. And finally, we came back into his room, and maybe all 50, 60 devotees sat down, and Prabhupada said, so, what is to be done? And everybody thought he was so angry that nobody would speak a word. Everybody was just frightened. So I'm sitting in the back of the room, behind like 15 sannyasis and 30 other devotees, and I start to go like this. He goes, yes, you want to say something? Like, I don't even know how he saw my hand coming up. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, we have to delay the opening. And he does that beautiful, graceful thing. How do you Indian people do it with your hand like that? Show me. Just flick of the hand and he goes, yes, he has spoken the right thing. And then everybody relaxed and we started talking and discussing what was to be done. And this is always a memory I have, not of self-glorification, but that Srila Prabhupada included all of us in bhakti, in the process. He accepted the design for the temple given by the architect. He accepted the paintings of the devotees who would make some suggestions, some changes. But when I said we have to delay, he said yes, he accepted. He gave me an opportunity to be involved in the development of his ISKCON and his Vrindavan project. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. So that kind of broke the ice, and we found out later that he was not angry. Srila Prabhupada was not angry ever, especially at the devotees. He loved us all. He said later that the problem is you have sent invitations to all the important people of India. And he was upset, and he looked at it and he said, This is not our standard. Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna, the literature, the temples, the society of devotees, is a very high class, perfect presentation of Vaishnavism. It's not some throw it together haphazard type of process. Everything in the books is very soundly established. And he wanted the important people of India to see that he was seriously preaching and his followers were seriously following. We were not anymore those hippies that he changed in the 60s. Where we were serious about giving society something very wonderful. Hare Krishna Prabhu and Mataji. Larki, Bahut Sundar Larki. So that was my blessing. Then one, you want to hear the curse story? Okay, so one morning he's here and his sannyasi says, Prabhupada wants kirtan on the morning walk. Bring kartal and madanga. So I go and I find two madangas. And I strap one to each shoulder. You've heard this story before? No? I put one on each shoulder, and then at that moment Prabhupada comes out the front door and I have to bow down and pay my obeisances. And I bow down and the madanga slides off my shoulder and hits the ground with a loud sound. Like a crack. And I stand up, and there's 50 devotees and Srila Prabhupada just staring at me in silence. And he goes, just see, we're spending so much money and so much time and effort to make the coal, and the carrier is useless. So, I have an understanding of that now, that yes, I'm useless, and I was trying to do two things at once instead of doing some concentrated bhakti, and I was being careless with Prabhupada's paraphernalia, which is Krishna himself. But then you can also take it philosophically in two ways, that when you get chastised by the spiritual master, it's even more of a blessing than when he commends you, he praises you. And the carrier is useless. The carrier is the sharir, the physical body. It's useless. If you want to be Krishna conscious, there's nothing this body offers you. You have to go beyond this body. You have to practice devotional service even beyond the concept of the body. Our Krishna consciousness is not here to make a person more wealthy or more healthy or more satisfied in their grihastha life or more successful in their business, even though it automatically happens. But that message, the carrier is useless. I hope I remember that on my deathbed, you know, so I can give up this useless carrier, and go on to my next station. So there's a blessing story and a curse story, and I think the curse story is more meaningful and more of a blessing than the, yes, he has said the right thing. Because they opened the temple next year in April for Ram Nomi. It was 8 months later, and it gave them the time to finish, and everything was done very nicely. I didn't come for that one. Were you here, Narayani? Calcutta. Anyone here for Ram Nomi 1976? 75? I was very... Oh, can we give a chair to this?
Here, give him this chair, not the big for the older man in the back.
Thank you. I wrote to Srila Prabhupada in 1975. We had gone and started a temple in Phoenix, Arizona. And I wrote to Prabhupada. He was in Mayapur, and I was saying, I'm thinking we should all come, all 12 of us, from our yatra in Phoenix. And he wrote back, and he was so enthusiastic. Insignificant. Devotees, new devotees, one small yatra. He was very personal again. He wrote me back and said, oh, we have just built some new apartments, so a new ashram. You'll be very comfortable here. I'm happy to hear that you're all coming. And then we came to Vrindavan after the Gaur Purnim festival. And I have a proud blessing story also. One of the devotees who came with us from Phoenix was being initiated. And there were 100 devotees initiated by Prabhupada that day out in the courtyard of the temple. And what is your name? Your name is this. Next person, next. And when the one devotee from Phoenix came, said, your name is Paramakarana. And he started to go, and Prabhupada said no, and he started talking about Paramakarana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I felt that Prabhupada recognized my friend, this devotee who had worked so hard for our new temple. Of course, it was more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when you have any interaction with Prabhupada, you take it very deep into your heart. I'm sure you've all had that experience. When you pray to Prabhupada, when you ask him for help, he is there. He's present. He cares about you. He's your eternal father. He's the reservoir of mercy that has brought Lord Chaitanya's blessings to the modern day. I wanted to say when he said also, this is not our standard. When he said we can't open the temple, it was obviously half done, but he wanted something very nice. That also has more meaning. This is not our standard. That you can't do anything very cheaply or lightly or easily. Like I read in the reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, the words Prakriti Sahajya is used often. Prabhupada expects us to practice Krishna consciousness the proper way. There are some devotees, I've been in ISKCON, 43 years now, and my work is as a Jyotishi, an astrologer. And I've read horoscopes for more than 15, 20,000 devotees over these 40 years. So I know a little bit about their life and their sadhana and their private life and everything. And I know there are some very good sadhus in ISKCON, very advanced devotees, sadhus, saints. And I know that there are those of us who are just trying We have a little shadow attachment by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and we're keeping up the Sangha, but the real decision in my heart that I'm giving everything to Krishna. I'm not the enjoyer. Everything. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi datasi yat. Who knows the rest? Tat kurushva mad arpanam. That surrender, that switching on, leaving material life and deciding deep within yourself that you're going to give your life to Krishna. That is not easily attained. I mean, I've seen in my own practice, you can do your 16 mala, you can attend class, but if you're not serious, there's so much strength of maya. I don't have to explain all the details. In my work, I've seen fourth marriage, fifth marriage. This person becomes a murderer. This person, you know, takes away 8 brahmacharinis for his own enjoyment and says, oh, you know Rasleela. I mean, we have to take it seriously. Otherwise, you can be very cheap devotee. You can be imitation devotee. Or you can be Prabhupada's surrender devotee. I'm giving my life to Krishna. And when he said, this is not our standard, throw it together, have a big party, invite everybody. No, that's not Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry if my words are strong or too strong, but I've both seen and experienced how you can be in divine grace with Srila Prabhupada and the next moment you're doing what you swore never to do in your life. Shakti is so strong. One time we were in Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles, and one sannyasi who had left came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he came in dungarees and a t-shirt up to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada says, you come to see a saintly person dressed like this? And the sannyasi said, oh Prabhupada, I'm so sorry, I've fallen down, I've left Krishna consciousness, I'm so fallen. Srila Prabhupada smiled at him and he said, then you start the process again. Just take it up from now. He didn't berate the man, or he didn't, you know, say you are useless carrier like he said to me. He said, you know, do your bhakti now. So whatever our past or whatever I've seen, I had to think, there's so many sadhus there chanting Hare Krishna, let's go forward. But set a high standard for yourself. That is what Srila Prabhupada set for us here from the beginning of the days in Vrindavan. When he said, this is not our standard, I took it like that. Or I take it like that more seriously now. Any questions? Any adding to the story? You remember those boiled potatoes? I know so many nice devotees here. Mukunda Dat, so devoted to the deities. Daiva Shakti, household life was broken. 30 years in Vrindavan, not remarrying. Very strong sadhana. You know, these kinds of devotees associate with and hear about Prabhupada from his books and from them. I have a few morning walk stories. I'm 62 now, so I don't remember all those 100 times with Prabhupada. You know, when I get my spiritual body in million births, it'll all come back to me. One day, when he was here in 74, My wife told me to tell this story. He saw a crow on the building. Said, oh, 25 years there have been no crows in Vrindavan. Just see how Kali Yuga is progressing. So, in those days, in 74, we would spend the whole day with Srila Prabhupada. He would go for his walk at 6 o'clock, and 10 or 15 of us would walk with him. That we would walk down this road that way, towards the forests, and Prabhupada would go inside and come back, and in maybe 45 minutes, no cars. One tanga came by, and the driver says, Jai Radhe. Srila Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna. And then he turns to us to say something, and we thought it was going to be a very momentous speech, and he says, the horse is the most beautiful animal. Srila Prabhupada was so wonderful. He writes that in his books also. You've read that? The horse is the most... One time I was in Portland, Oregon, where Prabhupada gave me Brahma initiation. And I was on a traveling party with brahmacharis, and the day before we were reading one of those little pamphlets from the 70s. You remember? Krishna Consciousness, The Topmost Yoga, Easy Journey to Other Planets, Raja Vidya, King of Knowledge. Have you seen those books? So I was reading one of those books, and in that book he says, if you say hut to a dog, he will immediately go away. So the next morning we go on the morning walk in the park in Portland, and there's 20 of us, 5 sannyasis, and the people are out there early with their dogs, and one big dog called a Saint Bernard, you know what a Saint Bernard is? Comes running down the hill right at Srila Prabhupada, and all of us are like, oh my God. Saint Bernards are like 100 kg, very big size. And Prabhupada watches him, and he comes close, and Prabhupada says, hut! And he turns around and runs away immediately. And I saw there, Prabhupada follows his own books. Whatever he says in his books, he follows exactly, perfectly, is absolute truth. Bhagavat Maharaj now, he was with Srila Prabhupada in his room once here, and Prabhupada was preaching to some Indian people. And he turned, after they left, the bhaktas from India, Prabhupada talked to a few American bhaktas and said, you see how I am preaching? I give reference from the Shastra. Are you reading my books so you can preach like this? And nobody says anything. Srila Prabhupada says, even I read my books. Because every morning I sit down to write, Lord Krishna sits by me and dictates every word. It is not Srila Prabhupada talking. Those books that God knows what is going on with the originals. But Srila Prabhupada wrote them, he read them with us, he showed how to preach from them, and he often spoke about how you have to read my literature if you want to be a preacher and if you want to remember Krishna constantly. What is the 9 processes of bhakti? Who knows that line? Brahmachari Prabhu, speak up. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Sakyam, Atmani, very good. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Shravanam, hearing. There's one nice nakshatra in the jyoti, in the sky, called Shravan nakshatra. It is ruled by Mother Saraswati. She is the goddess of learning. Shravana means to hear, correct? So you have to hear from Prabhupada's books. That will inspire you to chant, and by hearing and chanting, then smaranam, remembrance, constant dhyan on Krishna's lotus feet happens. So, one time in the garden in Los Angeles, we would go down at night around 6 p.m. Srila Prabhupada goes into his flower garden. Is anyone has been there? Los Angeles? Yes? And we would, he would talk, and he would see important people like professors from University of California at Los Angeles. Dr. Stilson Judah would come sometimes all the way from Berkeley. Any important person they would meet in the garden. And one night, I remember, one devotee was reading Shastra to Srila Prabhupada out loud. We were all listening, and Prabhupada would comment. And then the devotee would read something, and then Prabhupada would say, "You discuss amongst yourselves." So he sits there. Everyone is afraid to say a word, but Big Mouth Nalini immediately starts talking. I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada. That is stated in 5th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Karnam Gunasa," and he interrupts me. And he starts giving the commentary himself. Later on, I realize it's not even 5th chapter, it's 3rd chapter Bhagavad Gita. So I opened my big mouth, I made the mistake, and I, you know that aparad called Maryada Vyatikrama? Dravya Maryada Vyatikrama, something like, it's called surpassing a greater personality. All the nice devotees were afraid to comment because Srila Prabhupada's personally there. He is the personified commentary on Vedic literature. He's talking to Krishna directly. He knows exactly what Krishna wants to hear. He gave us the opportunity, and I immediately start making a fool of myself. Anyway, he liked the verse, and he elaborated on the verse, but properly. So, he liked that devotees were reading his books, and he made that very clear to us on many occasions. In those early days, in 1971, 72, we would have four classes a day. We would read Isha Upanishad, 18 mantras at 4 a.m. Then we would have Mangalartik at 4:30. Then Srimad Bhagavatam at 7 a.m. after greeting the deities. Then we'd go out on Sankirtan. Then we'd come back and have a class on Nectar of Devotion for an hour, take prasadam, go back on Sankirtan, and have Bhagavad Gita class at night. It was a real dose of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. One time, there are two other stories of morning walks in Vrindavan if you want to hear them, but time is going already. What time do we end? Okay. So one time I was reading Srila Prabhupada's book, Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that cow killing is due to envy. Have you read that line? Anyone? Anyway, I didn't understand that. So the next morning, on the morning walk, they would always let me come on the morning walk because I would get Prabhupada talking. I was always not afraid to say something. So I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I read your book yesterday." His eyes immediately opened. He was happy. And I said, "It says that cow killing is due to envy. I don't understand." He says, "Yes. They have the God-given right to live, but you do not want." And he looks at me. So obviously, I represent, you know, humanity in the Kali Yuga, or in a previous life I'm directly engaged in that, and that was not too long ago. That was 8 years previous to the conversation. They have the God-given right to live, but you do not want. That is envy. Envying their very right to exist, created by God. So this was a nice thing about the morning walks with Srila Prabhupada. You could ask a simple question, and you'd never know what kind of response you'd get. Sometimes it was like you'd try to understand with your mind what the answer is. When it comes down from Krishna through Prabhupada, you get, oh, here's the straight sauce, we used to call it. One time on the ocean in Los Angeles, this is an important question. I asked him on the morning walk, I said, Srila Prabhupada, you spend so much time in your books talking about Mayavad as taught by Shankara. But here in the West, people don't know so much about Shankara. In the Western world, they don't study Sharirag Bhasya or any of these other things. So why you talk so much about it? And he says, because when you use your mind to try to understand God, you come to the impersonal conclusion. You don't have to be a student of Shankara. You just have to be mental speculator. And he gives an example. He says, just look at the sky. All the devotees look up. He says, you have any experience of a person who has created such a beautiful thing? Therefore, when you see this beautiful creation, you think, oh, nobody could have created this. Such a perfect explanation of Mayavad philosophy in just two sentences. Yeah. Then he goes on walking on the beach, and he taps his cane, and he says, Jesse, this great ocean, 3,000-5,000 miles long, thousands of feet deep, and it must stop right here. Who has decided this? Such a perfect, in two sentences, here is God. There is God. In the last 50 years, 60 years I've been living, you haven't heard of Tokyo or New York or Los Angeles or Bombay being swallowed up by the ocean, have you? Who has decided that the ocean must stop here? There has to be some control, otherwise if there's no control, if it's all accident and chance, why doesn't the ocean sweep in, take care of California? In fact, back in the 70s, there were many of us in California who were adherents to there was this predominant theory that California is going to crack from the San Andreas Fault. There's going to be huge earthquakes, and half of California is going to fall into the ocean. I mean, or back in 2000, it was the Y2K thing. Did you have that here in India? Devotees everywhere were stashing grains and ghee and figuring out where they're going to move to, because the whole society is going to hell because the computers are not geared. So back in the 70s, Prabhupada wrote to one lady and said, you are worried about earthquakes and all this nonsense, but you should know for certain that this will never happen. Then all the fear of World War III and earthquakes in California falling into the ocean, you hear it from the authority and immediately you're liberated from that mental torture. One time he talked about World War III. I was on that walk. It was April 5th of 1976, I think, in Mayapur. And I tell it because see the mood of Prabhupada. All week, Swarup Damodar Maharaj was on the walk, scientist, Dr. Singh. Prabhupada would always say, oh, where's Dr. Singh on his morning walk, so they could talk philosophy and what the scientists preach. And so for about 5 days in the morning, they were talking scientific theory. And then one morning, Srila Prabhupada looks up and says, and now all this technological advancement will be smashed by the next war. And Rupanuga runs up from the back of the pile and to hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say, and everybody's on alert. And you just saw that last night or that morning, Krishna was talking to Prabhupada and telling him, this is a danger of happening. I don't think that's my mental speculation. What do you think? You live with me. Sometimes I mentally speculate, I agree, but when it comes to Srila Prabhupada, you could definitely tell that he meant and he heard it from Krishna what he was saying. So we knew at that time that it was very serious. And he instructed, Hansaduda asked him on the walk, so Srila Prabhupada, what should we do if a world war is threatened? He says, chant Hare Krishna, we have got only business. It's very nice. And then a brahmachari came up, I never knew his name. He said, well, Srila Prabhupada, at the end of the walk, everybody was quiet and reflecting on what just happened. This was a serious talk. And after a while, the brahmachari went to Prabhupada and asked a really nice question. He said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, if you really want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness fast, what do you do? Oh, for that you always have to think that you may die at any second. Perfect answer, immediately, didn't have to think about it. Yeah. So we've kept those words in our mind. Later on, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna had delayed the war to give the Russians another chance, a last chance to take to Krishna consciousness. And now we see that Krishna consciousness has spread so much from in the whole Russian continent that half the signs in Vrindavan are in Russian, right? Huh? Any Russian people in the audience today? You are, Acha. And you also? Anyway, that's what I heard from my good friend Balavanta. Balavanta was a GBC and he was very close with Prabhupada. And he always talked politics with Srila Prabhupada. So I knew that Prabhupada had said it. So these few rare souls could become devotees. Prabhupada stopped the whole world war for you. You think like that. Or Krishna stopped it. One time, Balavanta and I are close friends. Balavanta ran for mayor of Atlanta back in 73 or something like that. It was called the In God We Trust Party. So I started a temple in Phoenix and I decided to run for mayor of Phoenix. So I went to see Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm a friend of Balavanta. I was thinking of running for Phoenix. And he laughed. He said, I don't think this politics is so important. And then I said, well, I have no chance. I'm not doing it for politics, but I'm thinking we could get some publicity. It could be good preaching. His eyes opened wide. Oh, for preaching we can do anything. Good instruction from Srila Prabhupada. And later on, we actually ran a campaign and we had front page of the Sunday newspaper and I sent them to Prabhupada. And he wrote back through Satsvarup Maharaj, who was my GBC. He said, oh, this is very good preaching. I'm happy. But with that boy, Nalinikanta, Satsvarup, you watch him, you be careful with him. We have to deal with the material world like a lotus leaf. You're floating on the water, but you're above the water. He was cautioning Maharaj to oversee me that I don't fall down into the water of material existence. You have to go, Mataji? Hare Krishna. How do you say goodbye in Russian? Do svidaniya. Hare Krishna. You say Hari Bol. We are all one family now, from all over the world. Prabhupada's family. Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada cares about you. He likes to hear what you're doing in your life. I remember one morning I was here in Vrindavan with him. One devotee comes in and Srila Prabhupada, I have an idea to start a radio station in Italy. Prabhupada looked up, yes, you can do. Go. And he just walked out and did it. You know? Srila Prabhupada would always encourage us in whatever bhakti you can do. When I was here that first year, we were both very sick with amoebic dysentery, and we had lived through two months of the Indian summer, just California kids wanting to go back to the land of sour cream and the beach and such. You know what I mean? Yes. Anyway, so one sannyasi here said, I want you to stay and you take over Indian Life membership. This would be a very good service. And I said, oh, sorry Prabhu, we have tickets for tomorrow. And he just ripped into me. You know, that, oh, you may wear your kunti and you may have your japa, but you're not a devotee. So I felt bad, but she was deathly ill and I had had my fill. You know, as soon as we got back to New York and she had been given such a strong medicine that's outlawed, you can't even prescribe it anymore. It's called Adabrin. Kill the amoebas. Anyway, in about 1 month we decided, so when are we going back to Vrindavan? Such a nice experience, Hare Krishna Prabhu, that even though it was hot and even though it was uncomfortable and we had one little fan and we were living over in this little ashram that's still there and there was not much to eat, as soon as we got back we were thinking, oh, when can I come back to Vrindavan? This now is my 60th trip to India and Vrindavan. Something about you devotees and your place here that is so attractive. So, a few stories from Los Angeles, or any questions, any comments? Jasmine? No? You're doing Mon?
Well, while you were talking about the fear of the war, the oncoming war, I was Gopal Krishna Maharaj's secretary, and one paper came out. It was actually like a booklet of different conversations that devotees had had with Srila Prabhupada. What do we do to prepare for the war?
Acha.
And so I think it was Balavanta was expressing certain things. If you eat enough cashews, it'll help prevent the strontium from your bloodstream, or this or that.
Then
finally, Prabhupada said, you know, what will happen in the war is the same thing. You can die of disease, you can die of a flood or drought or old age or a war, but you're all going to die anyway. So just chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. He said that on the in Mayapur also.
Yeah.
He said at the end of the walk, when we were just coming to the Chandradaya Mandir, he says, anyway, what is this nonsense? If I do this or if I do this, I can live 20 years more. It's meaningless. The body is carrier is useless. Right? Don't think like that. And Rupa Nuga says, become eternal. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And then we walked to the temple and he gave a lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Karna Dakshaya Vishnu. I remember that day very well. He said Pakistan will start the war with India, and then both sides, communists and Americans, will jump in. They want to make India the battleground. There's some historical precedent also. Nostradamus said something like that, that a Muslim person would start the Third World War. Anyway, Prabhupada has given us all a chance right now. All we have right now is the present, right? You know that prayer by Bhaktivinod Thakur?
Forget the past and see the future. Act in times that are with you, and progress
will show. Very good. That means right now, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Prabhupada. Forget the future, forget the past. Of course, I'm studying along with CC, I'm reading Kamala Subramanian's summary of Mahabharata. And when you see what Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra are doing to the Pandavas, it's very hard to forget the past. I want to someday take a birth where I can punish those people. One time I asked Prabhupada in his room, this was very brazen of me. You know the word brazen? Do you know what it means? Brazen means fearless. You know, I asked Srila Prabhupada, even though I'm a neophyte, very neophyte devotee, if I have a feeling towards Krishna in a particular way, what is that? What I should do? Oh, that is what is wanted! He knows I'm just a bag of contamination full of lust, anger, and greed. And he's telling me, oh, you want to be Krishna's friend? Try for it. You know, this is a controversial topic in some areas. But evidently he knew that I needed that encouragement. If you turn it into a sahajya thing or imagination, it's not the same. But if your heart feels towards Krishna, give him your love. He wants that. Give him your bhakti with a good mood and he will reciprocate through the spiritual master's mercy. So these are some of my more memorable times with Srila Prabhupada here and in Portland and in Berkeley and in Los Angeles. Let me see if I left anything important out. One time I was sitting right next to him when he went into samadhi. That was very ecstatic. Can I tell briefly? Okay, so we were in Los Angeles and we went to record Prabhupada doing a bhajan in Golden Avatar Studios. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get there? How can I go? They're only letting a few people go. I grab a big chamara, a big peacock fan. And I said, I'm coming, I'm fanning Prabhupada while he records. Okay, here's that guy, Bhakta Tom Nalini again, trying to associate with Prabhupada wherever. So he's doing one bhajan in the recording studio, and they had three different devotees there, who were expert, at the time, expert Madunga players. And Prabhupada was doing the harmonium and the singing. And he said, this is not right. And then they tried Jaya Sachinanda. No, this is not right. Then another sannyasi. This is not right. And Srila Prabhupada says, can I do it? And they said, oh yes, Prabhupada, we can play you the song in your earphones and you can record the Madunga track. So, any musicians in the audience? We know what recording's like. Prabhupada sits down, listens, plays the Madunga, one take, no mistakes. You know how good that is for to record music? What, first take, no mistake, no need to try it again. So Srila Prabhupada is playing the Madunga. Then he closes his eyes. He goes deeper and deeper. And he starts breathing. Deep. I was sitting next to him and I'm stunned watching him in his samadhi. And the guys in the control room are going, fan him, fan him. I'm just standing there like this, watching Prabhupada in amazement. And so he's... And he hits the last note, both hands, opens his eyes and big smile, and everything's done perfectly. What can you say about Prabhupada? We have our eternal life with him, if we become serious devotees, and we can see these leelas all day, every day, for the rest of eternity, if you like. Just give him your love. Give the feeling you have to Srila Prabhupada as he encouraged me. That is what is wanted. And you don't have to listen to Nalini or Bhakti Tom telling you something. You'll be there in person for eternity as Srila Prabhupada serves Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, his guru, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, or Shama Sundar, however you like Krishna. Our deities at home are Sri Radha Govinda. Is there anybody that has that mood, that they have that feeling they want to develop and they're practicing it? You know what I'm talking about? You don't have to feel it deeply in the sense of imagining something. You could just think, I don't think I would make a very good gopi. I don't want to chastise Krishna as his father and mother. I don't know about being a blade of grass and everyone walking on me, but I'd love to be Krishna's friend and have a picnic with him. I'd love to be a Brahmin in the court of King Yudhisthira giving some advice, like Prabhupada accepted advice from me in his temple room. So that's what I'm talking about. Not that, you know, you would have to have a divine revelation, but in your heart you obviously have some feeling for Krishna. Develop it, make it grow, make it turn into deep attachment and prema, whereby you can't leave his lotus feet even for a second. That was Srila Prabhupada's position. When I look in his eyes, even when I sat down, he gave me Brahmin initiation. I was sitting this close to him, staring at him. He's reciting Om, Om, Bhuva, all seven lines. Says he looks at me. He grabbed the Brahmin thread from the table and he threw it over my shoulder, being very careful not to touch me. It was very noticeable. He didn't want to contaminate that perfectly pure body. And I'm staring at him for 15 minutes, and he looks at me and says, I am speaking, are you listening? What do you mean, are you listening? You could argue, I'm staring at you, my eyes are not shut. Of course, I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. But I've seen in my experiences over the last 38 years, I'm not fixed in that listening. Otherwise, why have I had these problems and these fall downs and these days when I can't even think about being a servant of Krishna? I can only hope someday that I actually see the bhakti that he put there fructifies and it starts to grow. So he knew when he said to me, are you listening? Remind yourself that sometimes. Prabhupada is right in your face. He wants you to hear the holy name of God. Are you listening? So I have these little nuggets of mercy by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and I'm glad to have been able to share them with you. So my wife or my sister-in-law don't feel comfortable to speak all of their bhakti because they're much stronger bhaktas than I am. I speak the truth now. Now I'm like Vidura talking to Dhritarashtra. You are a sinful man. You have chosen the wrong course of action. You will all die. There's only one hope for you. Return the kingdom. Give Yudhisthira back Indraprastha. And he was sitting right next to him, and Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, not listening. His heart is blocked to the right path. His heart is blocked. Even Krishna came and said, give them 5 villages. What did they say?
Not enough land that would you can fit on the head of a pin.
Yeah, can you imagine what Prabhupada has given us, given all of you? You say that to Prabhupada? Oh, I reject your Krishna consciousness. You know, I'm not going to love Krishna. I'm not going to try to be a bhakta, you know, with the slight amount of sincerity I have in my heart. Hare Krishna.
Now we have Yasmin Devi Dasi and we have Ratneshwara Devi Dasi, who've managed to sit there as inconspicuously as possible, but they have stories to tell. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Yasmin right now. And then
she'll say one thing.
Yeah.
You want to associate with these Maha Vaishnavis? You come and visit us in Florida. Alachua. Thank you all very much for listening.
Hare Krishna. I really resonated with when Nalini Kanta said that the books that Srila Prabhupada has written has come right from Krishna. They are divine words, and we have to take them like that because the relationship is through those books now. That's how we know Srila Prabhupada. That's how we feel his love. That's how we feel the sincerity from him and his mercy. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
You take the blessings, you share what you have, otherwise it's lost.
So I'll say something even shorter. whenever you're with Prabhupada, you would always feel, and this goes for now as well, that he was always endeavoring to execute the order of his spiritual master, that he never wavered in that on that point. It was dearer to his heart than anything to execute the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And also his absorption in Krishna at every moment, no matter what he was saying, what he was speaking, what he was trying to teach us, you knew that he was 100, 200% absorbed in Krishna. There was no doubt whatsoever. There is no doubt whatsoever in any of, there shouldn't be a doubt whatsoever in any of our minds that 100%, 200% sold Hare Krishna. And as my sister said, we can best associate with Prabhupada right now by taking shelter of his lotus feet and reading all of his books thoroughly. And we highly encourage everyone to do that. Hare Krishna.
You could see that in Srila Prabhupada too. If when you're close to him, you just look in his eyes and he's living in Goloka. He had an aura about him. You know the story from New York? One time the devotees were walking across the street in New York with Srila Prabhupada, and a policeman comes running up to them and says, "Look at that man! He has an aura! He's glowing!" Yeah. So you would look in Prabhupada's eyes and you would know that he's not seeing the sense objects. He's inside his spiritual body and using the body externally. Regarding his devotion to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, one time in San Francisco, we had an unfortunate episode where the devotees wrote Srila Prabhupada and asked him, please come to Rath Yatra. And they told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, we have new carts. We have new Rath carts. We have made metal wheels on the Rath Yatra carts." Prabhupada wrote back a letter. One page, I read it in the temple president's office. Five times he said, "Don't change anything." He said, "These wooden wheels have worked for 5,000 years in Jagannath Puri, but you have come up with something better. This is your American disease. You want to change everything." And then he said it again, and then again, and then again. And so the next day, I went over to the warehouse, and Jayananda's working on the metal wheels. And I said, "Jayananda Prabhu, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, the temple president told me to keep building these wheels." "Jayananda, you are the example for all of us. Everyone respects you. If everyone sees you disobeying Srila Prabhupada, it doesn't look very well." So Jayananda puts down his hammer and he says, "Yes, you're right. Let's go talk to them." So we go in the temple president's office. And the temple president said, "Oh, here's that troublemaker Nalini again." And Jayananda says, "I just can't do it. Srila Prabhupada told us five times not to change it. The wooden wheels work fine." And the temple president says, "I will call the GBC." He calls the GBC and he gets off the phone. He says, "The GBC said, don't worry, go ahead with it. I will take the responsibility." So they make the metal wheels. Prabhupada comes from Rath Yatra, and in the middle of the festival, the metal wheel collapses. And the cart is sitting there with Srila Prabhupada for half an hour. And that night, the temple president comes into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was sitting in his office. He was just radiant. There was Yogi Bhajan was there. One of the big Jain saints was there, so many devotees there, but everybody was just looking at Prabhupada. We were all just like flies, and Prabhupada is the fire. You knew who was guru. And the temple president comes in and pays his dandabhats and says, "Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I will never disobey your order again." So the next day, in Srimad Bhagavatam class, they read the translation and purport, and Srila Prabhupada ignores the whole verse and purport and gives his own purport. Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yata Deve Tata Guru. Who knows the rest? Very good.
Prakashante Mahatmana.
Prakashante Mahatmana. Sri Prabhupada starts talking about that verse. Firm faith. Parabhaktir. Deva in God and Guru. And the Guru. If you do that prakashante, you become enlightened. So this was a very important experience in my life also. I think I can preach better doing this way, doing politics, doing music, doing this, change the temple like this. Even now, they're changing so many things in ISKCON. But I've seen that letter and I heard Prabhupada saying 5 times, this is your disease. What can I do? When the devotees ask me, why aren't you coming to this function or why don't you come see this or this, I say, what can I do? You know, I try to be impartial to everything, but I have to stay strong with what I've heard Srila Prabhupada write and say. So forgive me if I've said anything offensive. I hope it enlivened you about your relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and hopefully we'll be back again same time next year. Okay? Thank you all for your devotional service to Srila Prabhupada and his most favorite Krishna Balaram Mandir. And if you got anything out of this afternoon, then you please pray for all of us that our seed of bhakti may sprout. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Ho.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.